Welcome to the download here on WGN Radio. Well, not too many bands can sell out a show at House of Blues, let alone three of them. But then again, not many bands are Social Distortion. Back in 1978, a young musician named Mike Ness decided to start a punk band. He was inspired by the music of the Sex Pistols, and 40 years later, Social Distortion is a band that not only continues a punk rock tradition, but a band that is named as one of the best American punk rock bands of all time. The band started as a straight punk band, but over the years developed a hybrid sound that includes punk, rockabilly, and blues, as evidenced in Social D's biggest hits like Ball and Chain and Story of My Life, which we just heard a second ago, two songs that are permanent fixtures on all of the top rock songs of the 90s list. Mike Ness has formed several lineups and has been at the heart of all of them. Social Distortion is at the House of Blues for three sold-out shows, and Mike Ness, the heart and soul of the band, on the line with us now. Mike, thanks for joining us. Appreciate it.
How are you?
I'm good. You come through Chicago and your career, I've been thinking the 40-year career many a times. What is it like to be here in Chicago? What does it bring up? What does it stir up memory-wise?
Well, it's funny because I have a friend here who's a retired fire captain. And he said that I met him in 1982 on the United State of Mind tour. I don't remember it, you know, because I was drinking a lot back then. So, I mean, that was a long time ago.
Wow, yeah.
When we got our start.
That's amazing to think about. I would assume, I just know as a music fan in Chicago, the band coming through years and years and playing places like Metro or Riviera or the Aragon, wherever it is. Are there particular venues in Chicago that you are like, that's a Social Distortion spot?
Man, you know what? Chicago crowds are so good that it doesn't matter where we're at. Really. I mean, they're just, you know, they're passionate. you know you're in Chicago. It doesn't matter what venue you're at.
You know, I mentioned in the lead just the idea of this being 40 years. When you started inspired by the Sex Pistols to start a punk rock band, what were you intending to do? What was it with Social Distortion or just any of the bands that you were playing with at the time? What kind of music did you want to produce?
Well, you have to understand my background. I mean, my background was the Beatles and the Stones, and I've been listening to music since I was 5 years old. So my foundation is in blues-based rock and roll, particularly, you know, American music. So when I got into punk, you know, it was like fashion, it was new, but I always wanted to kind of try and combine what I'd grown up with these thick grooves and melodies. And so I tended to lean to more traditional punk bands like, you know, the Ramones that have very good melodies with their songs.
Right.
Bands that were a little bit more traditional, they were just faster.
And what I love about listening back into your catalog of music, so much of it, is that you can sense an evolution in the music of to going from some of those early music that you were producing in the early 80s to what a lot of American audiences know of Social Distortion from Ball and Chain and the self-titled album. But you could see the evolution. Was it hard for you to get other bandmates on board to say, hey, I don't want to necessarily do a straightforward punk rock band, I want to bring these influences in?
Yeah, I mean, I guess in answer to both questions, I wanted to be a rock star since I was 5 years old. And I didn't want to just play in front of punk audiences, you know, even though back in the day, that's all there was. But our crowd was, even then, was very mixed. I mean, we had people who liked punk, but just didn't necessarily look punk, you know. And if I could win you over and you were not a punk rocker, then I really thought we had something. So I never wanted to play in front of one audience. And yes, the evolution has happened. I've always kind of had bandmates who kind of supported that, especially now.
When did you recognize the crossover appeal? When you're playing in the 80s and you're developing such a rabid, loyal audience, when was it that you recognized that you were no longer playing to a very specific set of people who were loyal to the band, but playing to a more popularized or popular American audience?
I would call it more of a diverse audience. It kind of was that way from the beginning, you know. It was like we had something that attracted just music lovers, period. It wasn't just a look or a sound. It was, they saw something in the writing and in our sound.
You know, you mentioned about wanting to be a rock star since you're 5 years old, and I'm always intrigued about punk rock, especially in Southern California, because there's so many great bands in America that have come out of Southern California. And Chicago will always be known as the capital of the blues, and there are other towns in this country that are known for their music. But you can make an argument that American punk rock was born and nurtured and developed in Southern California. What do you think it is about that? What's in the water in Southern California that created so many great bands?
Well, I can't speak for everybody, but I live in a pretty conservative Republican county, so that keeps me full of angst.
That's a good way to put it, right?
It's a love-hate relationship.
Also, everything that goes along with rock and roll, the positives and the negatives, you seem to have had the highs and the lows. You've had a well-documented experience with drugs and alcohol and addiction. You know, how much, as you look back in your 40-year career with Social Distortion, do you have to think about those times, the down times, as well as the up times when you think about the legacy of this band?
Yeah, you kind of have to, you know. I mean, it's funny, by 1983, you know, I was only 21, and I kind of stopped being the lovable drunk. You know, I just, all of a sudden, it just escalated. And when I see that film, Another State of Mind, it's like, I don't even know if I know that kid. You know, it's just I was so lost and, you know, and crying out for help. So, I mean, I think it's important to see, you know, by 1984, people were walking out of our shows because I was such a mess and all the gear was in the pawn shop and had to get dope before the show, had to get dope after the show. So I think it's important to just kind of keep an awareness of that. It's part of my story. But nowadays, I can see the look of disappointment when someone comes backstage expecting a wild thing going on, wild orgy going on, and we're making smoothies.
Well, that's my last question for you. Is it 40 years later, and here you are with the shows at House of Blues. You're on a tour right now that, once again, is selling out everywhere you go. What's different this time? What's different 40 years later? I mean, is it just the way that you conduct yourself on tour? Is reflect yeah, a little bit about how you how it's changed?
Well, I mean, I just think we're always evolving. I mean, it's it's just kind of always moving forward. I don't want to become complacent. I got a couple of new songs in the set, are exciting for me to play because I'm showing people that we have a new record coming. And, yeah, you know, I stay in shape, I eat well, I rest, and that makes shows go well. You know, I want people to get their money's worth and want people to leave the show talking about it and calling their friends in other states and cities and tell them that you got to see these guys right now. They're hot.
For all the things that do evolve, and you talk about diet or the way you treat your body and also just how you tour 40 years after you started, what doesn't change with a Social Distortion show? What is it at the beginning of your show when you're about to go on stage, what doesn't change?
Well, what doesn't change is the feeling of, you know, say you're having a great night, crowd is great, sound is great on the stage, the sound is great in the venue, and you're just realizing in your mind that this is what I was meant to do.
Mike Ness, the longtime heart and soul of the band Social Distortion, which is at the House of Blues for 3 sold-out shows. Mike, I can't thank you enough for taking some time out to talk to us, and congratulations on 40 years of Social D.
My pleasure. Thank you. Thanks for all the support.
take away this ball and chain.